Well, good morning, boys and girls. We're turning to God's Word, John chapter 17. Always remember, this book was written for you. It was written for you to read, to study, to believe. It is God's will for your life. Never forget that. There's something very personal about every word you read in the Bible. When you're reading it, always think, this is God speaking to me, right in my ear. You know what it's like when you and a friend are having a little quiet conversation, perhaps not anxious for others to hear it. You're whispering to each other. That's the way it should be when we read the Bible. God speaking personally to us. Always think of that. Always think of that. Consequently, just as I'm standing up here speaking to you and I expect you to pay attention to what it is I'm saying, likewise when you're reading the Bible, you should give attention. God's speaking to you. You can't let your eyes roam around the place, set your attention on other matters. God's speaking. Therefore, we must be attentive, reverent, and give to Him the honour and the glory that's due to His name. Now we're turning, as I say, to John chapter 17. This is the second study in the new series of studies that we began last week and which we hope in the will of God to continue for a little while. The study is all about what the Lord Jesus is doing now. What He's doing now. He is our great high priest, and in heaven, at this very moment, He's praying for you. He's praying for you. And He's also praying for every one of those who from all eternity He has set His affections upon. Last week, in the will of the Lord, I sought to show you that the Savior is praying. That without ceasing, He never stops praying. He never stops praying for each one of us. His thoughts are fixed on us. And He orders everything in this world for us. That's an amazing thing. There's not a thing happens in the world, but God has ordained that event for our good. For our good. Everything is ordered for our good, for our good. And as I say, at this moment He's praying, praying in heaven for His people. Now today, we're going to go a little further in our study, following up upon that fact. And I want to start off by having you notice, first of all, what it was that prompted the Savior to pray. What moved Him to pray this prayer in John chapter 17, which is an example of what it is He's praying at this very moment. What He's praying at this moment is set forth here in John chapter 17, the essence of it. But what made Him pray or start to pray in John chapter 17? Now, you have to be a detective when you read the Bible. You have to look at it and look for clues. That's what policemen do. Of course, the clues they're looking for are often very well hidden. The criminal doesn't want to leave behind evidence that will have him caught and convicted and sent to jail. So he tries to cover his tracks very carefully. But when we come to God's Word, the clues that are there are set out clearly. God wants you to see what it is He's doing and what He has done. He wants you to understand. So, look at how this chapter begins. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that if you look back to the last verse of the previous chapter, the chapter 16, you will see something of the reason why the Savior prays here in chapter 17. The last verse says these things, he's talking now to his disciple. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall. Note that word. It's not maybe, or perhaps, or there's a chance you will. No. Ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The word tribulation there is a strong word that denotes trouble, affliction, distress, anguish, persecution. Those things are all wrapped up in that word tribulation. And the Lord Jesus said, you're going to meet these things in the world as Christian. Trouble, anguish, heartbreak, because the world hates you. The world is opposed to you. The world doesn't like you. The world hates what you are and what you stand for, and consequently its hatred will be focused upon you. But the Lord says, don't worry, I have overcome the world. So he's thinking about his people, and he's thinking about the trouble they're going to run into, the things that they are going to encounter, and that's what has him praying. The Savior knows the difficulties you are going to meet. And so he's praying for you in heaven. Just you remember that. When you run into trouble, it usually comes very unexpectedly. When you're galloping about on the playground and you trip and fall, you didn't plan that. That happened unexpectedly. Well, so is all that troubles us, vexes us, grieves us in this world. It comes upon us unexpectedly. But the Lord knew it was coming. And he's praying for us that whenever trouble does overtake us, that we might look to him for help and deliverance. So that's what prompted the Lord Jesus to pray for his people here, and what prompts him to go on praying, and is praying at this very moment because of the trouble that we encounter in this world. But there's an answer to that trouble. And the answer is the Lord. He's concerned about us. He loves us. He's praying for us. So boys and girls, when you come into trouble in this world, and you will, as I've said, you turn to the Lord. You look to him. And you can say, Lord, you know all about this. There's a wee hymn that starts off. It just comes to my mind. Jesus knows all about my trouble. Don't you ever think that you're in trouble all on your own. No, the Lord knows all about our trouble. And he is praying for us. And we can turn to him and look to him and ask him, Lord, those things that you're praying for me at this moment, let them come to me. Let me embrace them. Let me embrace them. Then the second thing I want to say is this. It's a question. Who is the Savior praying for? That's important. Is he praying for everyone? Or has he a special people in mind? Because if he has a special people in mind, then that people are a very privileged people. A very privileged people. Well, if you look, please, at verse 9, because I come again to this truth, boys and girls. You'll always find the answer to any questions that arise in the Scriptures. So who is the Savior praying for? Well, he tells us, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 8, if you go back to it, says, for I have given unto them. Now notice that word, them. For that word refers to the people the Savior's praying for. I hope you're one of them today. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I have come from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, you have identified here, especially in this verse 8, who it is the Lord is praying for. I want you to notice the description he gives of them. It's very important. They are they to whom Jesus gave the word of God. Look at it. Verse 8. Look and see what it says. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Boys and girls, in our Bible, there is given to you the words from the Lord Jesus that was given to him by his Father to give to you. Please bear that in mind. Understand the connection. The word began with the Father, given to the Son, to be passed on to you. He came from heaven, you see, with the word of God for you. So this is who he's praying for. Those to whom he had given his word. But look at what else it says in the verse 8, that they have received them. See that? For I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me, and they have received them. So the Savior's praying for those to whom he gave the word, those who received his word. That's important. I have to ask you this morning, have you received the words that the Lord Jesus has brought from the Father? Or that present, that gift of the Father's word, is it sitting there waiting for you to pick it up, receive it? For you haven't yet received the words. They've been offered to you, but you haven't taken them up. He goes on further in that verse 8. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. There's the chain and the links in it. Words given by the Father, presented to us by the Lord Jesus, received, believed. Those are the people Jesus is praying for. Now I say again, are you among them? That's what a true Christian is, boys and girls. Someone who has heard, received, believed the gospel. Have you done that? Have you? Have you received the word of God? Have you believed it? And believing it, have been converted and saved? Have you? Oh, I hope you have. Because if you have, you're one of those the Lord Jesus is praying for. You're one of those the Lord Jesus is praying for. There's something else for us just to notice. Right now, he is praying for those Christians who are alive today. Now, as I say in verse 8, he's praying for those who he met 2,000 years ago when he came to this earth, whom he met and gave his word. He was praying for them. But he's also, and this is important, he's also praying for every Christian alive today. Now, we didn't meet the Savior. We weren't amongst the Peters and the Johns, etc. We have come along a lot later. But he's praying for us. And I can say that with the full authority of God's word. Because further down this chapter, in the verse 20, look at it please, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. The word these refers to the disciples back in the days when the Savior was on the earth. He's talking to his Father about them and praying for them. But here in verse 20 he says, neither pray I for these alone, not only these, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What does he mean by that? He's referring to those who have heard the witness and testimony of Matthew, of Mark, of Luke, of John, of Peter, of Paul, of James, and many, many others whose words are found in the Bible, telling the message of the Lord Jesus. And the Savior is saying, I'm not only praying for those who are around me today, Father, but I'm praying also for those who in the future will believe the testimony and the witness of those disciples around me today. And you have the witness of Matthew, of Mark, of Luke, of John, etc. in your Bible. And if you believe what Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, etc. say, and become a Christian, then the Savior's praying for you. So I ask you today, have you listened to what Matthew has said? Have you listened to what Mark has said? What they and others whose names are written in the Scriptures and whose testimony is given us in the Bible, have you listened to what they said about the Lord Jesus? How he was born at Bethlehem? How he lived a holy life? How he died on the cross, the sacrifice for sin? How he rose again on the third day because his sacrifice was accepted by God. He paid the price of our sins, and so he rose again from the dead as a witness to that truth. And then a short time later he ascended to heaven, and he's in heaven now praying for his people. Do you believe that? Have you listened to what Matthew and Mark, etc., have said? Because if you have listened and believed, then the Savior's praying for you today. But listen to me. I want us to notice that the Savior is very specific in telling us who he's not praying for. If you look, please, back at verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Which crowd are you amongst? Are you amongst those the Savior's praying for? Those who have believed the gospel? Or are you amongst those he's not praying for? The world, the worldly people, the people whose mind, whose thoughts, whose hopes, whose joys, whose delights are set upon this world. They live for it without any thought of God or eternity. That's what the world is. And the Savior says, I'm not praying for them. Just you think on that. The Savior is not thinking about the world. He is not pleading with the Father for the world. He's pleading only for those who believe the gospel. That's important to know. The world, very carelessly, very wrongly, assumes that, oh, everything's all right between me and God. And yet the Savior here says, I'm not praying for them. I'm not praying for them. To boys and girls, if we take anything from the meeting today, I want you to just think for a little while. Am I with the world? Or am I with those for whom the Savior is praying? Who do I stand with? Oh, think on that. What a dreadful thing it is not to be in the thoughts of the Savior. Not to be one for whom he's praying. What a dreadful thing that is. If you would be numbered amongst those for whom the Savior's praying, do you know what you have to do? Believe the gospel. The Savior said, I pray for those who will believe the words of my disciples. And that's what you must do if you're to be saved. That's the message of the Bible. There was a man asked the Apostle Paul one day, what must I do to be saved? And Paul answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's my message to you today. That's God's message to you today. May the Lord bless His word and apply it with power to all of your hearts. Let's bow in prayer. We do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy kindness and mercy, and for the word of God that we have been looking at. And I pray that understanding will be granted. For the wisest man or woman on the earth cannot understand the Bible or the meaning of the gospel without that wonderful opening of the eyes and of the heart by God. Lord, please bless each one here whose heart is not yet opened to the gospel by opening it, that they attend unto the things of God. Answer prayer. Bless our school. Meet its every need. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.